Hey everyone, welcome to the Enduring Churches podcast. This is Trent. I'm here with my good friend Alan, and we're excited to talk to you today. Before we get into our topic today, though, I want to mention to you again that we are doing a giveaway this month during the month of October. If you will go to our Facebook page and message us a little bit about yourself and your church, we'll put you in the drawing for a book called One Size Doesn't Fit All by McIntosh. And so it's a good book. I think it'll be helpful to you, but we want to get as many folks as we can in that drawing. Or you can also email Alan at enduringchurches.consulting or Trent at enduringchurches.consulting. So Alan, tell us what we're going to talk about today.
Well, we're going to talk about something that all of us who have ever donned a pulpit have experienced, and that's what do we do on a distracted Sunday? You know, we all have distractions. I'm sure you have had someone come up right before you preach with a complaint or something like that. I had a really good distraction early this year, long before quarantine hit and all this. We had a Sunday morning fire in our church kitchen where something on the back of our stove caught fire, and we had the fire department come up, all kinds of stuff. Had to put the fire out before I could get up and preach. And so that was on Super Bowl Sunday. What a great time for that. So yeah. Certainly was a little bit distracted that day. So Trent, have you ever been distracted?
Oh yeah, Alan, one Sunday morning I walked into the church, and I try to go in early, and I get into my office and I find that our church has been broken into and my office is a complete wreck. Things are broken, thrown around, and the ceiling, I had a projector up in the ceiling of our office area, and people had pulled the drop ceiling down to get that out. And I was like, man. And so I don't know. I don't even have a clue what I preached that day. It probably was terrible, but I was definitely distracted.
Yeah. Distraction's just a part of ministry. If you, we could all just share stories. And, you know, I think as we talk through some of these, we're going to remember all the times that those different things have distracted us. But there's a lot of things that can distract us on a Sunday morning. So Trent, why don't we talk about some of those common distractions that we face?
Yeah, Alan, one of the things that happens a lot to all of us as we get ready to preach, and I really do think that it's a spiritual battle, and Satan sets this up to where somebody wants to tell us their complaints about how they're angry about something. Right before the service is starting. And I know that's probably happened to you, hasn't it, Alan?
Oh, yes. Those personal comments right before you get up to preach, they are never tame, are they? They always, there's a little zing behind all of them, whether it's about the music or whether it's about something that went on in a small group or whatever it is. That little complaining spirit, especially in personal comments that are complaints, those really get to you.
Yeah, and people want you to fix something, or even if they just gripe about you or somebody else in the church, and then it's hard not to think about that during the service. And I don't feel very worshipful when that happens, to be honest.
No, it just kind of zaps all the energy and all the excitement that you have out. And the other thing that it does, sometimes it angers you, right?
Oh, yeah.
So then you're preaching angry, and that's really not the place from where we really want to preach. You don't want to preach out of a sense of anger, because that oftentimes shows up in our messages. And so, you know, we know that there's going to be personal comments. You have to kind of brace yourself for them. We're going to kind of give you some techniques a little bit later to maybe help avoid some of those. But yes, personal comments, those are probably the most common thing when we get together and we talk with other pastors. Can you believe they said this to me right before I got up and preached? And the crazy thing is that most of those comments, 6 months later, you can't remember it, but in the moment, it was really bad.
Right. And not all things that we have that distract us right before the service or before the sermon are complaints. Sometimes they're simple requests, but it's hard for us to, you know, concentrate on what we need to concentrate on when we're also, you know, as guys, we put on our fix it belt, you know, when there's a request of something that, you know, somebody with a genuine good heart is asking us, but that's maybe the only time they've seen us.
They'll ask for maybe an announcement to be made in the church, or, you know, ask you if you could pray for them, mm-hmm. or all kinds of things, because maybe they're having surgery on Monday. And so they just want you to stop and pray for them. And that's a good thing, and do those things, but know how you're going to deal with those things. I think having a game plan in mind for how I deal with different comments is probably a good place to start. We'll come back to that, but let's talk about another one, Trent. One that I didn't really experience early on in ministry, but the more we use technology, technology's really become a distraction for me on Sunday mornings. Like, to go in on a Sunday morning and realize the bulb in your projector unit that is situated 20 feet above, above the, floor is not working.
Yeah.
So I've had that one.
I have too. Something's happened with the projectors or, your screens, if you're using TVs, you can't get something to come on. The power's not working, right? And
right,
it seems like, and Alan and I were talking about this before, that there's a very limited group of people that can fix those things. And usually the pastor is one of those limited group. And so it's just adding one more thing, you know, to get taken care of before you can actually do your sermon.
Yeah, or you realize that you were on your last set of batteries and you don't have more batteries for your microphone, or your copy machine breaks down and your notes won't print. You get all kinds of distractions. One time, one of my favorite ones that I did, and I did this to myself, but talk about a distraction, is I had printed off my notes and they were sitting on my desk, but we were having a service elsewhere, and I had forgotten to put those notes in my Bible, and I got up to preach and I had my notes from the week before still in my Bible, and I didn't have the current notes. Talk about a panic situation, man.
I was cold sweat. No.
What am I talking about? I grabbed one of the bulletins and I was looking at the notes that I had in the bulletin, trying to remember everything that I had in my notes. And, you know, maybe I should memorize my sermons. I don't. I use notes. I'm a notes guy. But anyway, technology, it's one of those things, it will distract you. And a lot of times there's just not much you can do about it.
That's right, Alan. And because most of our churches are smaller churches, you know, you don't have a dedicated technology guy. Right now, you know, a lot of our churches have moved to live streaming their services because of the pandemic. And so that's added a whole nother layer of issues to that. I know that we've gotten to the point where the service is starting and our guys are still setting up the cameras and getting all that set up. And so I'm having to run down and help them get that all set up. So there's a lot of things that can distract us from the job at hand.
And then you add in the building issues. Mm-hmm. Not that our buildings would ever cause problems, because we're so grateful to have them. But, you know, if you rent a building, you've got issues there getting set up and making sure everything works. But if you have a building, then you've got, you know, what happens when the power goes out. I actually preached in my first view of a call. In my very first church, the power was after a storm in Oklahoma, the power was out, and I had to preach via a lantern that morning.
Wow.
So, you know, talk about a distraction. You know, if your power's out, if it's hot, if it's cold, you're certainly going to hear about that. That might go back into personal comments, but, yeah. You can certainly have building issues as well. Mm-hmm. You know, if there's a snow day and you're trying to get the parking lot cleared out and the sidewalks cleared off, that's a distraction. There's all kinds of distractions that go along with buildings.
Right. Well, and I don't know, maybe I'm the only perfectionist, you know, but I want to have things looking nice. And so you see that something needs swept off, or, you know, there's snow and ice on the sidewalk and you want to make sure that it's taken care of and nobody else has gotten there yet. But I also, I remember, Alan, talking with a friend that they were using a school, and the school had double booked their facilities. And so, you know, they get there and there's another group that is setting up too. And so that can be a problem, you know, and it's all the worst nightmares that cause pastors to wake up in a cold sweat in the middle of the night worrying about that stuff.
Yeah. So you're going to run into building distractions sometimes. One of the odd ones I've had, Trent, is I've had some security issues. I actually, for a funeral one time, there was a family member that the family had asked not be there. They had been involved in some immoral behavior that caused a lot of conflict in the family. And they just felt that that person was not a direct relative. And so they asked that that person not be there. Well, that person came through a fit. I ended up having to call the police. It was an awful, awful situation. And so, you know, there are times where you're going to have some security issues. Maybe there's odd behavior by a guest, or, you know, I was telling you earlier about some theft in the church parking lot from years back and how big of a distraction that was. And so, you know, there are security issues that go on today.
Well, and even more so as, you know, we recognize that we need to protect our children and in different buildings. I know our children's program's in a different building than where our sanctuary is. And so, you know, we're trying to keep those kids safe and lock doors. And you're right, it can be a problem. And you mentioned about the guy at the funeral. I've had that at both a funeral and a wedding. And so, yeah, that makes for an exciting time. And how do you deal with that?
Right. And then, of course, the last one, it's those things that we're dealing with on our own. And sometimes we're distracted because we're distracted, right? Mm-hmm. Maybe it's family conflict or internal conflict of some kind. But you've got stuff going on in your own life that makes it hard for you to preach that day.
Right. And our family, you know, we sometimes our spouse and us can have a heated conflict, you know, argument during the course of the weekend or the week leading up to this. And we're still working through that or boiling over about it. And man, I don't know how many times I've heard of families that on the way to church, the kids are, you know, I don't know, it seems like they're possessed or something. And we're like trying to get them in line, get them dressed, and everybody's late. And so that can be a problem. And then we also that have some internal conflict sometimes when we're struggling with maybe what we're going to talk about even. I know that was my case last Sunday. I was really struggling with, God, help me to know how to do this in a compassionate way, you know?
Yeah, I think that the internal conflict, that's probably one of the hardest things for me to preach through, is knowing that half the time I'm really preaching hard at myself, you know. Mm-hmm. It's probably not even half the time. It's really every week I'm preaching hard at myself, but some weeks it's harder than others. You know, it's recognizing that I still fall short of what God wants from me and expects in me often. And that conflict inside, or the turmoil you feel over different things, that can be hard. I was struggling through a decision I really needed to make, and I could see that conflict inside me working its way through me almost on a daily basis. And I know that was affecting my preaching as well. And so, you know, you're going to have all these issues. Whether it's the comments or technology, building, security, personal, there are going to be distractions that you face on a Sunday. So how can we help some of our pastors out there as they kind of journey through their Sundays, Trent? I mean, what can we really do to try to protect ourselves and to try to protect us from some of those distractions?
Well, Alan, I think that, you know, we're going to talk about some of these things, but I think preparation is such a big part of, you know, not only putting together a sermon, but making sure that the, you know, things are ready for your sermon and that mentally you're prepared so that you can do that. And so, Alan, I know you put in our notes, I think it's important for spend some time preparing on Saturday or during the course of the week before Sunday. And I definitely would agree with that.
Yeah, you've kind of got to get a head start mentally. Don't expect that everything's going to go as you want it to on Sunday morning. Now, you and I, Trent, now we're in that empty nester phase of life.
Mm-hmm.
You know, so we actually probably have a little bit better situation. I know Rochelle is actually really protective of my Saturday nights. You know, we try to not do so much where I'm going to be distracted Saturday night, going to sleep, all those kinds of things, so that I can get up and be really ready to go and in tune on Sunday. But when we had kids in the house, that was a taller order, and it was a little bit harder for me to do. But you need to find some time to do some last minute preparation before you hit Sunday. Whatever it takes, you need to find some of that time. Block it off.
Well, and you mentioned rest and Rochelle protecting your time to get some sleep. Man, I remember when our kids were still in school and high school and we were going to events, and they're always on a Saturday, right? And ball games, or our daughter was in state speaking events. And oh my gosh, you know, we're driving across the entire state, getting home after midnight on Saturday. And it's like, okay, and I'm supposed to feel like I know what I'm doing on Sunday morning. So it's a challenge, definitely, if you're in that phase of life where you have kids at home.
Yeah, but, you know, maybe let your spouse drive, take your notes with you, do some of those things, though, mm-hmm. that you can do to help do some preparation. One of the other things, Trent, I think is really important, and you mentioned, you know, that you're there by a certain time, you know, on Sundays. Arrive early, whether that's get up early or arrive early. But I like to arrive to the building early. So if there's an issue, whether I can get on top of it or I can have someone else get on top of it, but arrive early.
There was a pastor in Colorado that was kind of a mentor to me that he kind of taught me to do that. And so, yeah, Alan, I get to the church by about 7 on Sunday mornings, just so that I can have some time when nobody's around to pray, to read through my notes one more time. Typically, I'm adding one more thing to my notes, and then I'll walk around the church and pray and just look and say, okay, what things need to be make sure are taken care of today, and think about who I need to talk to during the course of the day too. So I think that's an important thing, is to arrive early.
Yeah, I think most pastors probably do that by nature anyway, but I didn't do it as much earlier in my ministry. I'm definitely much, much, much likely to get there a lot earlier now than I used to be. The third thing we want to say is shut your door for some time in prayer. You know, don't be afraid on Sunday morning. You know, every pastor wants to say they have an open door policy. Sometimes you just need to shut your door and find if there's especially the more distractions, the more likely you need to shut your door.
Absolutely. You need to be able to have some concentration time to hear from God again, too. We know the Holy Spirit can speak to us all the time, but sometimes, especially if we're concerned about a sermon that we have to do that is maybe that we're struggling with, or we feel like God's given us a word that we need to preach and that's going to be harder. Spend some time, close those doors, lock that door, and take some time in prayer.
All right, the fourth one, Trent, and this is a good one. Ask people to come back to you later with issues. Mm-hmm. You know, you're going to get to know your people, and you're going to know someone. There's a difference between someone coming up to you and saying, "Hey, I just need you to know that the toilet in the bathroom is overflowing," right? Well, you can send someone out to take care of that or whatever. But you also know that person who's likely to come up to you and say, you know, the auditorium's too cold or the music's too loud or whatever it is mm-hmm. that they've got to complain about this time around. You know, be ready to say, hey, I know this is probably really important, but can you come back to me after the service today?
Right. Yeah. Or even say, hey, if that doesn't work for you sometime this week, come visit with or holler at me and we'll get together because I want to have time. And I think it's important to communicate to people is, hey, right now I'm pretty distracted. I'm focused in on my sermon, but I want to give you time. I want to listen to you and not be distracted from listening to you. And that will take away. I've said this before, Alan, that most conflict goes away when somebody feels like they've been heard. And so, you know, even those people that are complainers, the more that you can say to them, I want to listen to you. Sometimes that takes away that complaint.
Absolutely. And that's a really important part of what we're talking about. And I think the other thing too is over time, your people, and again, we're talking about enduring churches and building leaders that last. The longer you're in a church, not that it's going to ever completely go away, but some of those people will recognize, oh, this isn't the right time. You know, they'll get to know you. They'll kind of get to know how you move and how Sundays go. And some of them will save it for later. And so that is good. I mean, that's just one of those things you build over time, I think, with people. But to get there, one of the things that you can do, and this is just a little tactic, I think it's a really important thing, but stay on the move before and in between services so you're hard to corner. Make yourself hard to corner before things begin. And I think the more you're moving, it just makes it harder on people. And I know someone might say, well, Pastor, that sounds like you're manipulating. I'm not manipulating. It's important for me to get around Sunday. I want to interact with guests. I want to interact with members. I really want to see how many people I can get to on Sunday morning. So yeah, it's not disingenuous. It's actually just good wisdom and I think good ministry.
I agree with you. And yeah, it may sound kind of harsh, but a moving target's harder to hit for sure.
That's right. Don't make it easy.
That's right.
Don't be a sitting duck.
Yeah. So yeah, pastors, if you're listening to this, we understand what you're going through. We understand the things that you deal with on a typical Sunday morning or Wednesday or whenever you do your ministry. We get it that there are distractions, and hopefully this is not only shown to you that there's some tips to help you deal with that, but also to understand that, hey, I'm not the only one going through this, right? But we care about you. We want to help you through this. And so Alan and I, as always, we want to say to you, please contact us. If we can help you in whatever season you're going through, we want to do that. And we want to point you to enduringchurches.com. And our email, again, we want you to participate in the giveaway, the book that we're giving away this month. If you would message us on Facebook or on enduringchurches.com, we want to get that information so we can put you in the drawing. But can I ask you one other thing too, is to like and share Enduring Churches and our podcast on Facebook. We need your help to get the word out, because we want to be able to be a blessing to pastors and ministers.
Yeah, Trent, you know, you shared a great story the other day about our podcast we recently did on budget imperatives for 2021. And a pastor came to you and thanked you for that. And it actually used that to help make some decisions for the coming year. Stories like that just really encourage us and let us know that we are trying to help you in some practical areas of ministry. And so I want to thank you guys for listening and thank you for sharing. And again, we just want to say thank you for being a part of the Enduring Churches podcast, and we look forward to having you back on our next episode.